Welcome to Consciously Speaking, exploring the evolution revolution. On Consciously Speaking, you'll be introduced to guests from all walks of mindful development. Spark up your spirituality, crank up your consciousness, and mend your mind right here on Consciously Speaking with your host, Michael Neely.
Today, our special guest is Grace Clayton. She is the founder of One Shift, an organization designed to support conscious leadership in the world. Her immersion training program is a laboratory to learn and practice conscious communication, emotional intelligence, and taking radical responsibility in your life. She's also a mentor and an executive coach, as well as someone I know to be passionate about conscious living, leadership, and relationships. Welcome, Grace.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the show. You know, I'm not sure where exactly we want to start with talking about things. So I guess really just big question that comes up for me is what started you on your path of consciousness training?
Well, I've been on a conscious path probably since I was a little girl. But one of the points in my life that really made me make a big leap in my own consciousness would have been in my 20s. And I was married and had a child very young. And I was in a fairly dysfunctional, unhappy relationship. And I had been doing yoga and meditating for years, and I had all kinds of consciousness tools in terms of those, but I was still not happy, and I was still having a really crappy marriage.
Isn't it funny how a lot of us, we know what to do, we have all the stuff at our fingertips, but it's just not working still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was happening with you?
Yes, that was happening with me. And so I knew there was something missing in my arsenal. I knew that there was some missing ingredients that I needed to find in order to be able to have happy, healthy relationships and a happy, healthy life. So that really set me on the path to look for what was the missing ingredient.
Yeah. It sounds like at that point then maybe you started exploring. What did your search look like? I mean, not through the yellow pages, did we have the internet back then? How did you search and find out?
We did have the internet. I'm not quite that old, but what happened was I was on my way to go to a yoga retreat in Colorado. And I happened upon a magazine article which had Gay and Katie Hendricks in it, and they were talking about what it took to have healthy relationships. And I read that article, and at the end it said there was a training happening at the same time that this yoga training was that I was going to. And I knew in that moment that that was actually where I wanted to be instead of where I was headed. So I canceled the other retreat that day, gave up my plane ticket, and signed up for this training. And from the moment that I walked in the door to that training, I knew that I had found the thing that I was looking for and that this would become a very key part of my life's work.
My next question was going to be, you know, to have you cite some of your primary influences in your personal evolution. And it sounds like perhaps there were a couple of them, Gay and Katie Hendricks, you said, but are there others that maybe along the path that also spurred you forward?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've had several really key teachers in my life. And really, I have gone after looking for who are the masters, who are the people that can teach me the things that give me the shortcuts in life. I have chosen to do that over more traditional academic learning. And so I have worked with many teachers that I have gleaned different things from and brought it all together to inform what I do today.
And it sounds like ultimately the student has become the master yourself. Mm-hmm. So, which leads me actually perfectly into the next aspect is you've created this organization called One Shift. Tell me about that.
One Shift is actually in its birthing process, and the website will be out in about 6 weeks from now. Sometime in late December or by early January.
Just so our listeners know in advance, now that would you share the website with us?
The website will be oneshiftnow.com. And so we're still in our design and branding process, but it will be there will be resources there for coaching, for mentoring, for trainings, live trainings. There will be online courses that people can take also.
You said that's going to be up and running in about 6 weeks. So the end of the year, January 2015, sounds
correct.
Like we'll be launching. Terrific. Yeah. So I know as part of that process that you've shifted a little more to leadership training as opposed to just individuals going about, you know, bettering their own lives. You're really focused more on making better leaders in the world. How did that evolve?
Mm-hmm. Well, it really started with first becoming my own project. And so for a number of years, I got together with a couple of friends and we practiced every day together, working on different aspects of ourselves, opening up our awareness, taking responsibility for our lives, looking at where we were victims, looking at places we were stuck. And we challenged each other. We pointed out our blind spots to each other. We helped each other actually also see our greatest strengths. And I spent a number of years really embodying those things. And then I began to teach them to people so that they could improve their relationships. Because the very first thing that I noticed happened was my relationships got much better. My ability to relate with people got better. So that's how I began. And I did that for many, many years, still do. And now have decided that I want to have even more influence and have these tools accessible to more people. So going into the realm of leadership, where I can work with leaders and heads of organizations that have the ability to influence many people and have the ability to change the culture that people are living in, is what I most want to do now with my energy.
Sounds exciting. I know as part of that process, you've gotten involved with an organization known as the Conscious Leadership Group. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me a little bit about that group and what your participation is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Conscious Leadership Group is just being birthed now, and we have a team of 14 people. We have structures in which we'll go and work with an organization over a period of time. The kind of work we're interested in doing is not just about changing people's behavior or just changing culture in a company, but we're really in radical transformation and creating work environments that are sustainable, where people learn healthy ways to communicate with each other, where people are looking at a series of commitments and integrating those commitments into their organization.
Sounds like a big chunk. I mean, do these organizations hire you to come in as a team? And is it a 1 month, 2 month, year long process? I mean, can you give any more details about that?
Yes.
In case we do have some people out there, I'm sure some of our listeners have their own companies who may be intrigued by this.
Yes. Well, there are several ways we're working with people, but it is over the long term. It's at least a 6 month to 2 year process, depending on the size of the organization, depending on how deeply they want to transform their organization. Mm-hmm. And we have, depending on the size, a team of people that will go in and work. We will offer coaching during this time, as well as going on site. We'll do off-site work, on-site work. It's still being formulated.
Mm-hmm. You know how companies nowadays, they're all concerned about their return on investment. So what are going to be the benefits to a company for becoming a conscious organization?
Well, the benefits are too numerous to name, but to name a few, a company that decides to adopt and take responsibility with these 15 commitments will have a much higher level of collaboration and creativity. They'll have more of a sense of being a team. They'll have healthy ways to interact with each other, which will allow them to actually be able to communicate way more effectively. They won't spend as much time spinning around in dramas. One of the commitments is ending gossip in an organization, and a huge amount of creative energy gets lost in people's gossip. Another huge amount of energy gets lost in people not going direct to be able to communicate with each other things that have been happening that they withhold, and therefore it turns into a much bigger deal than it needs to be.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys might have some competition or some pushback from the bottled water industry, because if you get rid of all the gossip, I mean, where's all the cooler talk going to happen? They'll have to stop ordering all those water bottles. You've mentioned a couple of times the 15 commitments. Mm-hmm. Could you give me an example of one?
One of the commitments, in fact, the very first commitment, is about taking radical responsibility. And the commitment is, I commit to taking full responsibility for the circumstances of my life, my physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. I commit to support others to take full responsibility for their lives. And when we're talking about commitment, it's really valuable to mention counter-commitment, because people tend to understand things by what they're not. Mm. So the counter-commitment to that would be, I commit to blaming others and myself for what is wrong in the world. I commit to be a victim, villain, or a hero, and to take more or less than 100% responsibility.
Sounds like a lot of people are living in that counter-commitment, really. I mean, I see it constantly in the world. And so you have a series of 15 commitments like this that you go into an organization and train them about?
Yes, the Conscious Leadership Group has written a book. This book is by Jim Dethmer, Diana Chapman, and Kaylee Klemp, and it's called The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. This book is a great resource for people who are interested and want to know more about it and to see whether it would be a fit for them to bring into their organization. And so, yes, what we do is we work on those, as the 15 commitments are the core piece of work that we do all the skill building around.
Terrific. It sounds like these commitments, though, would also be valuable just to an individual, not necessarily as part of an organization, just in your everyday life.
Absolutely. They're the commitments that I aspire to live in my life. They work not just in an organization, but in an intimate partnership, in a community, in a family structure. So they're not just commitments that are for the business world per se. They're really conscious commitments. They're commitments to create conscious living.
It sounds like something that would also be valuable to be taught in our school system.
Absolutely.
You know, have kids start learning this at a younger age. Maybe they could get this book added to the curriculum.
That would be a wonderful idea. I've often said that if I had been exposed to these ideas and this material when I was younger, that I would have saved myself an awful lot of drama and heartache.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. You know what? Let's do this. If you're willing, could we throughout this broadcast maybe share some more of the commitments from time to time? Mm-hmm. And I'll just ask you to plug one in there. So why don't you give us another one of your favorites?
Okay. One of my favorites is, I commit, and this is about candor, which I'm a really big fan of telling the truth and being direct. So I commit to saying what is true for me. I commit to being a person to whom others can express themselves with candor. And the counter commitment to that would be, I commit to withholding my truth, the facts, feelings, and things I imagine, and speaking in a way that allows me to try to manipulate an outcome. I commit to not listening to the other person.
That's a great one. It's actually, this is one that has come up with me for several times in relationships, because I practice Buddhism, and one of the things about right speech as part of the Eightfold Path is that the timing has to be right as well. You have to, what is your intention behind your speech? Be sure that it doesn't harm and stuff. So sometimes, I mean, just the way you said it up front, I think if people took it just for face value, it could be misconstrued a little bit. Like someone just says, man, you look fat. Is that the intention with this commitment? Could you explain it a little deeper in that level?
Well, all of the commitments are really designed to be from a place of creating the world that you want to create. And so every single tool that we have could be used as a weapon or as a tool. So always people's intention behind why they say something or how they use something is key. Mm-hmm. And so the context within which you're using the commitments is incredibly important. And there is a concept in the book where we talk about whether or not you're being above the line, so to speak, which mm-hmm. would be committed to learning, open, curious, or mm-hmm. whether you're below the line, which is wanting to be right, being defended, and being closed.
Got it, yeah. Yeah, no, it sounds that makes a lot more sense to me, because as you've probably heard the term becoming a smart rat, a lot of people can shift a learning that they've used or acquired and then use it for ill. you know, for negative outcome or just to get at somebody. So I like that you guys are committed to keeping it in a level that is, you know, of, I guess, of a mindful approach where it's not about anything other than creating possibility in the world. You know, that's terrific. And you say there's a chapter in the book dealing with that?
Yes, there's a chapter in the book that talks about what it's like to live above or below the line. And really what that is, it's the context from within which we are living or speaking or listening to someone from. And what we say is that the context is at least as important as the content. So the content would be what we're talking about, and the context would be from where we're talking about it. So are we talking about it from a place of curiosity and openness, or are we talking about it from a place of being defended and being blaming someone?
Well, that's a great distinction. We've mentioned the book a couple of times. Now, you said the book is coming out soon. It's not quite available yet?
The book is coming out in early January. We don't know the exact release date, but it should be early January.
Terrific. And where will the listeners be able to get a hold of this book?
Amazon will have it.
Terrific. I'm looking forward to the release myself. I want to check it out. In addition to the Work with Conscious Leadership Group, you also have One Shift Now, or I'm sorry, One Shift, but the website is oneshiftnow.com. During my introduction, I mentioned that you facilitate or have created, actually, you put together a whole program that you call the Immersion Training Program. Could you give our listeners more details about that? I mean, I've been a participant in it, and so I got a tremendous amount of value from it, but I'd like to get your take on it for our listeners.
Yes, it's a training that happens over about a 5 or 6 month period. We meet in person 3 times for an immersion type period, so about 4 days. And it's a relatively small group. It's no more than 20 people. And we learn these tools. We practice context and locating whether we're above or below the line. And we interact with each other, practicing communication skills, emotional intelligence skills. It's also an opportunity for people to get clearer on what their deepest purpose is here on the planet and what their unique gifts and talents are. And so it's a laboratory to practice with a group of people who are committed to transforming their lives. Because one of the things I know about having done this work for as many years as I have is that it's very hard to do by yourself. So it's not like you can just learn these things, go off by yourself, and just think, I'll be able to do this. We really need to be with other people, I call it tribe, to get to practice, get to make mistakes, get to be with people who want to support us in our growth and who are open to doing the same thing, who are more committed to learning than they are to being right. This group is an incredible opportunity to be able to hang out and learn and practice these skills together. And of course, you get to have me there coaching, mentoring, facilitating the group, giving them the shortcuts that I've found along the way.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I find is terrific about a coach in general. It's that you get to learn much more rapidly by not having to go through the same process. It's like someone did all the research for you and they're handing it to you. And so I think that's terrific. And you were wise enough yourself to figure that out early on and start to study with the masters and then integrate that into your own being and now share it with the world. And, and as I mentioned, I got a tremendous deal out of the Immersion group. I would recommend it to anybody. And because I know that some of our listeners out there are going to be friends of ours or people that know us at least well, for them there might be, you know, the elephant in the room that's not being discussed. But then also for other listeners, I think that they should know that you are my former wife. I'm your husband, as we joke about it. But the reason I mention that is because I think it's a testimony to your skills as a conscious communicator. You know, conscious divorce is just something that would be such an improvement in our society, because these communication skills that you're teaching can help people through the most trying of times in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well, I really do think that you and I creating the conscious divorce that we did set a new bar for what's possible for people to be able to go through. I certainly learned an awful lot through the process, and because we had all of these tools, we had a leg up. We knew how to express our feelings, take healthy responsibility for our feelings, how to move all the way through our feelings so that we didn't just carry the baggage of resentment along.
Mm-hmm.
We practice creating win-win. That's one of the 15 commitments. We created resolution together. We took healthy responsibility. We took radical responsibility and asked, how did I create this situation to begin with? We used so many of the commitments in that process, and it was a great training ground for me.
Me too.
yeah, and then that I could fast forward, one day be teaching a training that my husband would be a part of. That kind of blew my mind that was even possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not just yours, but I think even more so people that we encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically speaking, I was at your wedding recently, mm-hmm. a little over a year ago. You were at my wedding a little less than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are still just a little bit dumbfounded by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, one of the things that I recall as well that I want to share, which I've shared with you before, I'm sure, but so many people, when I first mentioned, you know, the relationship would come up in conversation, I would mention that we were getting a divorce, and the first immediate knee-jerk response from almost everybody was, oh, that's so sad, I'm sorry for you, it's too bad. And my response would be, why? And because there's such this, you know, this whole stigma around divorce that it's considered a failure.
Mm.
And I don't think that either of us ever looked at it that way.
Mm. No, I didn't look at it. I think there was maybe a short period of time in the beginning where I did feel like a failure because I was measuring myself against what I thought societal norms would be, which mm-hmm. would be if you're a success, you stay married. But I've since learned that relationships evolve, people evolve, and that if we're committed to staying true to ourselves, that we'll pay attention to when is a relationship coming to its natural and organic ending, and that's not something that's wrong. It's actually just what's true. And to have the courage to face that, to be able to address it and take action is a big deal.
Yeah, and essentially even to learn from it. I mean, you know,
yes.
I think, and we continue to learn from
yes.
each other as we've gone on for years now, just our friendship is evolved and changed and grown into something different.
Yes.
So I think it's wonderful. I don't want to belabor that point too much. We could do a whole episode just on conscious
mm-hmm.
divorce, which maybe sometime I should have you back on the show and we should do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to know for our listeners, I think we've covered a little bit of what you're up to now, but what's going on with you? What are you most passionate about and what are you digging into at the moment?
For more Consciously Speaking, go to michaelneely.com. Sign up for the Art of Forgetting newsletter and keep up to date on the latest blogs, podcasts, and more.
Well, what I'm really most passionate about is working with groups. Like the immersion training that I do have, I'm also going into organizations and also working with Conscious Leadership Group, CLG, to create learning forums, which are very similar to the immersion. So my passion is to be with groups of people, to support them in their learning, to download these tools, these ideas to them so that can ripple out into the world. And I still do coach executives and couples in their relationships.
Well, I'll get more into that in a minute. I have some more questions on that, but I wanted you to throw out another commitment while we're at it.
Oh, okay. Well, here's one of my favorite ones. This is about play. I commit to creating a life of play, improvisation, and laughter. I commit to seeing all of life unfold easefully and effortlessly. I commit to maximizing my energy by honoring rest, renewal, and rhythm. And then the counter commitment to that is, I commit to seeing my life as serious. It requires hard work, effort, and struggle. I see play and rest as distractions from effectiveness and efficiency. And this is a really, really big deal right now in our world. I think the sustainability is a big conversation, especially in the corporate world, where people are getting burned out, they're overworking, and seeing that play is something that distracts you rather than something that creates more effectiveness. I think that play has probably been the single biggest transformational tool that I've used in my life.
You mentioned you do private coaching as well, both for executives and for couples, for relationships, which I think that's very important for our listeners to hear, because if you're middle management at a company and your company's not bringing in this leadership, someone may still want it personally. So how would someone go about that? They just contact you and set up an appointment? And
yes. If they wanted to contact me, they can contact me through my email, grace@oneshiftnow.com. And I would go through an interview process to see whether what I'm offering is what they would most want.
And how do you do this training? I mean, what does it look like? I mean, am I going to talk to you on the phone? Are we going to Skype?
Both of those are possible. Mostly, I would say 90% of my clients are virtual at this point. And some people prefer Skype and some people will just prefer to be auditory and be on the phone. And both of those work just great.
And you coach, so basically that opens you up to coaching anybody anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. I have clients all over the world.
That's fantastic. And do you also find that there's extra value in coming and doing face-to-face? Or is that something that after you coach somebody, you know, maybe virtually for a while, then ultimately they arrange to come to one of your immersion groups? What do you find is the norm?
Well, more and more those things are changing for me. I will be requiring people to come and take a training as well as do coaching with me, because what I'm really interested in at this point is total transformation for people's lives. I'm not the kind of coach to just come and work with for a few sessions. I'm not the kind of coach who, if you just want to come and change some of your behaviors or change, get some good strategy, those are important things, and I just wouldn't be the one to come do that with. Most often, my clients will come and do an intensive several times a year where we'll spend a couple of days just intensely working together and then do the coaching in between.
Mm-hmm. So if someone wanted to get started with you, what's the best way to get an introduction to your work?
Yeah, well, I do have a two-day training that I teach about three times a year that I call the Tools for Conscious Living. And that is a great way to get a taste of this work, to feel like if it's the thing that is for you.
Terrific. Do you have a date set for your next one, or is it something I just got to tune into your website and check it out to see?
Yes. Once the website's up, we'll put the next dates on. It'll probably be in the first trimester of the year.
Terrific. That sounds like a wonderful program and a good way to get introduced to your work, which I can attest, it's great stuff. So anybody who's listening out there, I highly recommend, if you want to wait for the tools, check out the website, get signed up as soon as it's available. If not, if you're, ready to get in action, transforming your life right now, just reach out to Grace at grace@oneshiftnow.com and get something set up. I think it's time that we added another commitment. Mm-hmm. What's another one you'd like to share?
Okay. This is another one of my favorites. I commit to living...
Come on, they're all your favorites now, aren't they?
In an organization, this one is particularly important. I commit to ending gossip, talking directly to the people with whom I have an issue or concern, and encouraging others to talk directly to the people with whom they have an issue or concern. And the counter commitment to that is, I commit to saying things about people that I have not or will not say to them. I commit to talking about people in ways I wouldn't if they were there, and I commit to listening to others when they gossip.
Yeah, I think you've nailed corporate society right there in a nutshell. I don't know if a lot of companies are successfully shifting that. What's your experience been with the companies you guys have worked with?
The companies that we've worked with are definitely shifting that. there's an article that the 15 commitments was mentioned in Forbes magazine this week, and it is actually it's on the Forbes website.
Nice.
And it's on gossip, and you can read more there and even get to read the first chapter of the book if you go to it.
Terrific. So they can go to Forbes.com mm-hmm. and then look up 15 commitments of conscious leadership.
Correct.
And that should find should lead them to the
or article. Gossip
or gossip. Okay, mm-hmm. terrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gossip is one thing that I know is terrible in a corporate environment, but it's also something that I feel is one of the large detriments in relationships.
Yes.
You know, I know that so many people get caught up with, you know, they have a complaint about their partner, and instead of sharing it with their partner, they share it with their best friend. And you know, I have a friend who is constantly telling me all the stuff that they don't like about their partner. I'm like, tell your partner.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. To me, that's also gossip. Would that fall into that?
Yes, that would fall into that. Yeah. Something that you aren't saying directly to the person, but you're talking about them behind their back. And one of the key things that does is it rips people off from receiving the feedback or receiving the requests that they, if they had received them, might change what they're doing.
Mm.
And so if we never go directly to people and we're talking always and complaining about them behind their back, then we take away that opportunity for them to learn.
One of the things that comes up for me about that is what's known as a withhold. As you know, you've been trained, I think you were the first person to share with me about what that is and what that means. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's been so vital for me in relationships because often, even if it's just one simple thing that, you know, I get angry with my partner about, if I don't say something about it, that little thing, it's like it can fester mm-hmm. and grow into something bigger. And then it's like oozing out in sideways. My anger can show up in different ways or something. Instead of me just letting the air out of the balloon by just saying, hey, I noticed when you did this, I felt angry
mm-hmm.
and have it be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that, you know, the way you guys are formulating these commitments and working with people on this is terrific.
Yeah, withholding is such a relationship killer. And when we turn that around and decide to share the very things that we've been withholding, then most of the time the stories that we make up about the person start to just disintegrate and they go away. But the more we hold something back from someone, the more those stories we can make up in our minds about them. We start to label them as a certain way. We start to see them in a certain way. We start to not feel so connected to them anymore. And by the simple act of revealing those withholds with that person, we'll almost always feel more connected, more close, regardless of doing anything about it. All we have to do is tell them the mm-hmm. truth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. share the truth. Mm-hmm. Don't withhold anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been doing this work with the Conscious Leadership Group, and they're one of, I believe now I've started to notice there are several organizations that really work with conscious development in corporate America. Where do you see conscious America evolving to, our leadership in America in our corporate field?
Well, I like to sort of start that question by saying that conscious, for me, how to define conscious. Conscious is really simply being aware of what is happening in this moment right now. What am I feeling? What am I thinking? What's happening? And so as we develop more self-awareness ourselves and as leaders, we'll be able to make more aware choices. We'll be able to create things out of what we most want to create rather than our default patterns. So it's my hope that more and more people will want to become more self-aware. The rewards of being self-aware are so vast. We get to have a richer personal life, richer relationships, more satisfaction in our lives. We'll tend to have more of a sense of fully expressing ourselves, our greatness in the world, and feel more satisfaction.
And who wouldn't want to work for a company that has that type of a leadership where they're on really working at a higher plane?
Yes. Yes. Well, we're hoping that as we get to bring this work to more organizations, that the organizations will then be labeled as a 15 commitment organization, and people will then get to have access to which companies are running that way.
Mm-hmm. If we did have a CEO listening in on our program and they wanted to find out more about the Conscious Leadership Group, where would they go for that?
The website is conscious.com. www.is.is. Hmm. And the website has just been launched as of a couple of days ago. And on the website are some wonderful videos that describe some of these concepts. There are meditations that you can listen to. There's downloadable PDFs. And so it's got all kinds of goodies on it that people could go to for resources and to find out a little bit more about what we're doing.
Fantastic. That's conscious.is. That's very interesting. Is. I like that conscious is. Very cool. Well, while we're at it then, why don't you give us one more of the 15 commitments before we...
Okay, so let's finish with appreciation. This is commitment number 7, and it's, I commit to living in appreciation, fully opening to both receiving and giving appreciation. And the counter commitment is, I commit to feeling entitled to what's mine, resenting when it's not acknowledged in the way that I want. And so, in alignment with that commitment, Michael, I'd like to appreciate you.
And, oh, okay.
Okay. If you're open
to
that.
Let me open myself to that. All right. All right.
Okay. I really appreciate, Michael, about you, the way that I see you evolving yourself and taking the skills and genius you have as a warm, welcoming, open communicator. And just, for instance, doing this interview program and making these ideas more accessible, finding this way that you can bring your mastery into a way to be giving to other people.
Mm. Mm, thank you. Yeah, that feels good.
And I hear you practicing really taking it in, which is one of the, it's the flip side of appreciating is being appreciated. Mm-hmm. And so I saw you taking a deep breath and really receiving it fully before you said anything. And that's one of the skills to learn about appreciation.
Yeah, that was one that took me a while. I was very good at deflecting, as you know. Mm-hmm. But it's like any other tool. It just takes practice. Mm. So I want to appreciate you as well. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So I so appreciate your, well, so many aspects of you and your presence in the world, but specifically for our audience, our listeners today, I want to appreciate you for what you give to the world, what your commitment is to the planet, but even more so to the humans that are walking their walk and their path, because you have such a wonderful commitment to expanding their growth, their awareness, and their possibility in the world. Mm. So I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm, thank you.
My pleasure. Grace, what is one nugget of wisdom that you'd like to leave with our listeners today that they could put to use in their life right now to make their life better?
Okay, well, one of my favorite nuggets of wisdom is breathe. And the way I would specifically talk about breathing would be to use your conscious breathing as a way to shift yourself. So periodically throughout the day, if you're beginning to feel stuck, you could pause and take 5 connected breaths. If you are in the midst of conflict with someone, you could pause and take at least 3 breaths. If you are feeling creatively blocked, you could stop and take 10 connected breaths. So breathing is one of my favorite tools to be able to shift.
I like breathing.
Conscious, long, and deep breathing.
Yeah, so just to clarify for the folks out there who may not be aware of what is a connected conscious breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so another way to say a connected breath would be an open breath, a breath that is fully inhaled all the way, fully exhaled all the way. And there is a whole science to breath that if you are feeling triggered, that if you take 5 to 10 connected breaths, you'll be able to settle down your physiology, get out of your fight or flight response, and come back down into your relaxed, creative brain and be able to do whatever is next to be done.
Absolutely. So while everyone knows breathing is important, we must breathe to live, a conscious, connected breath, physiologically speaking, can make a complete shift in our experience.
That's correct.
Excellent. Well, that's a great thing to leave our audience with, our listeners with. And so, Grace, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Michael, for having me.
It's been wonderful having you here. I look forward to it, and hopefully we can have you on the show again maybe in another 6 months, 12 months, when things really get rolling with these new projects that you're birthing. It sounds like two things are going on simultaneously. It's a lot happening.
Yeah, thank you. I'd love to come back.
And we would love to have you back. Listening to Consciously Speaking with your host, Michael Neely, and our special guest today, Grace Clayton. Subscribe to our podcast so that you don't miss out on some of our upcoming guests, which will include Diana Chapman from the Conscious Leadership Group and David Gagan. His book, The Endless Journey, demystifies the fundamental questions surrounding humanity, providing valuable insight into the mysteries of existence. Until next time, breathe deeply.